I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff and our community. It's a treat and a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Garay Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how are you doing?
Normally I would be worried to have the after lunch slump. We just had a big lunch, huh?
I know. That was a really, we've just had a really intense, I guess I would just say, amazing day.
Yes, I am filled with adrenaline, Gray. Nobody is going to even ever believe. If you weren't there to see it, you wouldn't hardly believe it.
Why don't we walk them through, I guess, what we're coming from, because I feel like it's important for people to know just how awesome the leadership here at Twin Hills is.
Yes, dear listener, get ready to have your minds blown about what real leadership looks like. We are so blessed. God has really poured out a blessing onto our church to give us such a powerful leader in our lead pastor, Steve. He founded the church.
Yeah, over an old Chinese laundry, which was amazing.
It's such a God thing. And so here we are to set the scene for you. Gray and I were both in the same staff meeting this morning.
Yes.
It was a late morning staff meeting. Everything seems fine. But when Steve came into the room, it was with a, what do you say, gravitas?
Oh, yeah. I think he was just absolutely piping hot with anger, Hallie. And usually you do not see him like this because he's kind of a CEO type almost. He's
very always stoic.
So totally cool, calm, and collected is how he's usually described. But I could tell he was just really angry. His fists were clenched. He was just turning all crimson around the collar.
Yeah. And so, you know, the whole temperature in the room sort of changed because everyone's so tuned in to what Steve is, you know, feeling and all of that. We're he's such a powerful leader that, like, he sets the temperature in the room. He does.
Exactly. And it came to light, I guess, pretty quickly that And Steve just said it outright. He said, one of you has betrayed me.
I know. I can't. Honestly, that moment.
My stomach dropped, Allie. Oh. And I was like, please, it's not me. I know it's not me. I know it's not me.
I was like, is this like the Last Supper with, you know, Judas kissing Jesus or something? What is about to go down right now? I was honestly, I held my breath for what felt like a solid, how long did the episode last? 30 minutes, an hour and a half? I don't know.
I mean, I was holding my breath most of the time. That's why I kept, you know, grabbing onto the chair because I kept feeling like I was going to black out.
Yeah.
But basically what happened, Hallie, is, and listeners, is that Steve revealed to us that, you know, through some searching through internal emails and, you know, finding ways to do some surveillance on our staff's accounts.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. Accountability absolutely is a tenet of the Christian faith.
You use the church emails. Those emails belong to the church and thus Steve. And so Steve found that one of our teaching pastors had been conspiring to split off and start his own church.
And not to name names, but it was teaching pastor Casey Llewellyn.
And that is just a heartbreaker because, you know, most people like Casey, even though, I don't know, Hallie, I've never really liked his teaching style. Now that it's, you know, this has happened, I think I can say this, is he's just always a little bit like, you know, he's just like the nice guy and he's always saying like, you know, he just feels a little namby-pamby. You know,
I always loved Casey Llewellyn as a teaching pastor because he brings a lot of heart. And I feel like he talks to us like he's just a regular person.
Yeah, but you know, to me, Hallie, you got to have heart, but you got to have something to back that up. Mm-hmm. And he just never had it.
And that thing is called character.
He really brought it.
Uh-huh.
So Steve basically pointed to Casey and he said, you know, you tried to start a church out from under me.
Yeah.
And now you're going to pay the consequences.
It doesn't even feel real, Gray. That somebody was wanting to branch off and leave
you?
Twin Hills.
You're an idiot if you even try.
Oh, I can't even believe it. He wanted to do some church plant, I guess?
I guess so. And Casey, as soon as he got the finger pointed at him, he just, you know, obviously started freaking out.
Yeah.
And a couple of other people started freaking out because it's clear that they were sort of in cahoots. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Steve took this opportunity to do something I've never even seen before. He said, guys, we're going to play a little game called Golden Cow Corral.
Based on the golden calf in the Old Testament,
exactly.
Right.
And everyone's kind of looking around going, okay, never heard of that.
I think he was making it up on the spot, to be honest.
Really?
That's just how his mind works. He's able to come up with metaphors and lead so powerfully with this really intense masculinity, which is what you need out of
exactly
a leader, to be totally honest. And so I think he meant golden calf corral.
But
because
it
of the
a bit
golden calf.
Golden cow corral.
Yeah. So we're going with golden cow because maybe it's that Casey's sin has grown from a calf into a cow, to
and
be honest with you.
He basically pointed at Casey and he said, if you're going to follow this guy, you're going to follow this golden cow, then I'm going to make you prove it. And he said, Casey, get on all four knees in the middle of the circle.
Get on all fours.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like a cow or a calf stands.
I said all four knees, but I guess I just thought of that. Because if you look at his elbows, they do look like
they're
knees.
Knee-like.
Yeah, he does have big
knees. I agree.
Big,
and it's like
elbows.
Knee skin on the
right.
elbows.
It's really,
yeah,
disgusting.
Really weird.
A lot of skin tags. Anyway, he made him get down in the middle of the whole circle of leadership.
Uh-huh.
And also with his little minions, mm-hmm. a couple little minions.
He said, who's with him?
And they got down on all four knees. Oh, did I say knees again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but there were multiple knees. Now,
right.
There were lots of knees on the floor because Casey had a few followers, I guess you would call them.
And not to name names, but it was Tandy Tyers and mm-hmm. Jocelyn McLaughlin-Litz.
Mm-hmm.
And so this part really gave me a lot of joy.
Steve started saying, what does a cow say? And they were looking at him like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, but make the sound of a cow. What does a cow say? And they were like, moo. And he's like, no, you do it like a cow.
Right.
In their
and
faces.
That was awesome too, Hallie, because, you know, in Australia, cows don't say moo, moo. You know, in different cultures, they go moi, moi. And so that was just a learning moment for me.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
But he didn't even want him saying moo. He wanted him to do the thing like a real cow goes like,
and stick the tongues out.
Yeah.
And then he said, now, if you're going to leave, run through that door and everybody, you've got to stop them.
So on all fours. They had to stay on all fours.
They had to stay on all fours. We got to stand up. We could basically rugby tackle them if we wanted to, which I did at one point.
It was adult Red Rover.
Look at me, Hallie. I'm covered in rug burns.
I know.
And they were trying as hard as they could to go out the door and get out and start their own church and going, you know, making that terrible noise. And we are all stopping them. I sort of lost you in the scrum, Hallie.
Well, I got kicked. I think Steve accidentally kicked me a couple times.
Oh, Steve kicked me twice too. Yeah. I think he just said, try harder, you know?
Well, I think we all were trying to show loyalty to Steve. And so we were like, we have to keep them in the corral.
Exactly.
I mean, was that the point? We're supposed to keep them in the room while they were trying to get out of the room?
Unless they were trying to get out and start their own church. And by the very end, everyone's exhausted. The cows did not get out of the corral. And Steve just used it as a teaching moment. And he said, see, you can try to leave, but we're not going to let you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just so awesome.
It really is an example of what leadership looks like. Because say what you will, give it any highfalutin definition you want to. Leaders are the one that will go first or whatever. You know what I say a leader is? A leader is someone who, when they turn around, are people following them? Yep.
Exactly.
And that's Steve. He has thousands and thousands of us, hundreds of us on staff, all 100 except for the two defectors.
And I don't want to follow somebody like Casey. I mean, I want to follow a guy who knows who he is, who's, you know, an alpha male, who's really taking charge and is strong and protective and sort of like that, you know, that is the figure, that daddy figure that you really need. And I'm not going to go follow Casey
right
off to his little couch.
What's Casey's church going to be? We all sit around and cry into each other's shoulders and, you know, like...
No.
So Steve is showing us what it means to be strong, to have standards. And speaking of mamby-pamby and alpha male, my son Day was telling me recently, he was reading about alpha male because my kids were talking about how, you know, have you heard of man spreading? When men spread their legs real wide so their legs are lopping over into somebody else's seat?
Oh, no. I've heard of mansplaining where a guy knows the right answer.
Exactly. Well, my husband, Lance Labonte, was telling the kids, he was like, it's not a choice that we're trying to throw our legs on you and take over part of your seat. My son, my husband, Lance Labonte, was telling my son, Day, he's like, men have to spread their legs wider because it's a physiological thing.
Right.
It could actually, if they put their legs together, they could crush their genitalia.
Oh, exactly.
They could do all kinds of internal damage inside their body. They really have to spread out. And Day was saying, you know, this alpha male stuff is so distasteful to him. And he was saying, Mom, alpha male was only a term that was used to refer to primates until the last couple decades. It has become a thing now that people use to refer to humans. They've appropriated this language for primates that was helping us understand primates. And now men are using it like it's some kind of term of pride. And Day was telling me, he was like, all the alpha male attributes are descriptions of primate behavior. And I said, well, maybe it's primal behavior, not primate. And, you know, it's okay for men to be alpha males because the Bible says they're the head of the household. It's a great response. With great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
Don't give them guff.
And, you know, the word that I think of there is primacy. And that is what Steve has over this church and over this staff. And I don't care what you call them. I think alpha male is a great title for that.
And if you have to take the qualities of a gorilla and apply it to a really intensely powerful and strong Christian man, well, then so be it.
Absolutely.
What would those qualities of a gorilla be? It would be the ability to overpower someone. You know what? I want that out of a pastor. I want you to overwhelm me with the grace of Jesus,
right,
the power of the gospel.
Sometimes that comes in the form of a kick, you know, when
yes,
you're trying to keep somebody from playing a cow and running out of a room.
And yeah, I got kicked by Steve, but even a sleeping dog knows the difference between being kicked and being tripped on. You
exactly
know? And so I got tripped on today, and so be it. If I have to show my loyalty and support my leader, goodness gracious.
Well, when he kicked you, didn't he say, get back in there, Hallie?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, I'm sort of flattered that he knew it was me and that he knew I was right there by his side fighting
awesome
in his army. And then he came up with such a great spontaneous sort of gift for all of us to kind of, you know, let us all simmer down. He said, Lunch is on me. I'm taking the whole staff, except these three defectors. I'm taking the whole staff too.
Golden Corral. And I just said, and it was good. My goodness, that is inspired.
And tasty.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't eat anything there. It's all just, you know, packed with carbs.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just like Jesus said, let the little children come to me, our guest today welcomes the little children in our Milk and Honey Children's Ministry. It is P.C. Dearson. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, oh, PC, thank you for thanking.
Whenever I see you, you are being followed by, usually you've got one of those long ropes and you've got a bunch of little kids hanging onto and they're not on the rope.
Kids on a rope.
Yeah, almost like a shepherd or something. So tell us a little bit about what you do down there in the Milk and Honey Children's Ministry.
Every sinner has a past and every saint has a story or whatever,
right?
whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, the old saying.
The point is that there's something that they say, whoever they are.
Isn't that right?
My past, and people should know this, I'm very upfront about it, I don't have a background in child development. I wasn't even interested in it and still am kind of not.
Okay.
But I came to, you know, the church, you know, fathers, the heads of the church, and I said, I want to run a coffee cart. You know, and I was thinking very sort of like, you know, third, fourth wave, you know, coffee cart.
Right.
And I was sort of thinking, I was imagining you kind of like Little Font, you know, where you'll see a place and it has like the, everything's lowercase and it has an ampersand. And I was thinking like,
yeah,
Milk and Honey, you know, doesn't that sort of sound like a,
right,
kind of a Christ-like biblical third wave, fourth wave, you know, coffee shop.
Right.
And so they were like, well, we've been looking for a name for our, you know, our sort of kindergarten, you know, that age ministry. And so Milk and Honey seemed to fit. You know, we talked about it should have like a little, sometimes when you see a daycare and it's sort of like in that kind of scrawled crayon font and
yeah,
there's a little
yeah,
like backwards N, kind of like Toys R Us. They're like Milk and Honey. And I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, have fun with that. And I was just thinking I was going to slink off to the parking lot and get in my Corolla. But they were like, great. So you start Monday.
So, I mean, I think that's really a God thing though, where, you know, you came to the church really wanting to do sort of an artisanal coffee cart and you were really obsessed with, it sounds like just fonts and lettering.
Yep.
And then what God put in front of you is like, hey, let's take this name, this Milk and Honey name, mm-hmm, and we'll change the font and lettering. And I'll not only help you have a job, but I'll do you one better, and I will have you leading children now.
Actual children.
And that to me, Hallie, what a God thing. And I just think it's just so cool.
Well, he was diverted. I feel like PC was like Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul thought he was going to go persecute some Christians and build some tents. And instead, Jesus said, nuh-uh, I'm going to turn you into an evangelist extraordinaire. And I feel like PC, you know, you had the idea to be a barista, and instead God said, I'm going to have you minister to children. And I think just the fact that you had already thought of Milk and Honey, you know, who's got time for extra letters? Not kindergartners. Also, you know, church leadership took one look at you and said, well, we don't have any jobs available for what he wants, because, you know, we already have the Do This in Remembrance of Tea coffee shop.
Right.
So They just directed you into where there was an opening, which is working with the kindergartners, which I think is so beautiful because we don't get a lot of men working in the children's ministry. A lot of time, that's where we throw the gals. We say, hey, you know how to make them with your body, so you know how to make them understand Jesus and make them be quiet. But to have a man that these kindergartners can look up to, I can see why the church leaders wanted you there.
Totally.
Powerful.
Yeah, and I think that people have a general understandable skepticism of just like just males in general that are in a childcare capacity because they're sort of, you know, especially in a religious setting, because they're just thinking, you know, they don't really know, but there's something about it that their meter's kind of going off. And that's, you know, I get that. But for me, they immediately don't have that reaction because they're just like, we can tell you don't really want to be here. You know, they're just like, we just know that you're just not that into it. And we love that about you because that means that you're cool. You're safe.
You're not a
CREP, you know?
Right.
That's right. I mean, if you were overzealous to get in there with the kiddos, they'd be like, well, he might be a fiddler. You know what I mean? But if you're like, I don't know if this is for me, bam, this guy doesn't look at kids that way.
Yeah, exactly. That I have like just an open ambivalence and an indifference to it that they're just like, good for you.
That's
you're
right.
Safe.
So I want to ask a bit about your background because, you know, somebody who is really thinking about coffee all the time and then ends up in a children's ministry, what were you doing in that time before you came to know Jesus and Christ specifically?
Well, I was working as a barista in a large coffee conglomerate.
Okay. Do you want to name it?
We don't have to. They have a mermaid as their
green and white
as their logo. Mm-hmm. And let's just say this. Let's say that there once was a person like me, allegedly, who was working at this large coffee chain, and they had they have like longer hair. And so let's say that this place, it saves them, you know, 2 cents on every cup of coffee if that coffee grinder grinds just a little bit quicker and there's like not an easy way to shut it off. You know, if it's just like once it starts grinding, it just goes. And this person's hair got stuck in it and they got really, they got pulled into the machine and they lost a lot of blood and they had a near-death experience. And while they were bleeding out all over this grocery store, front of a grocery store.
It was one of those.
Oh, yeah, kiosk inside.
Kind of like kind of the cheap one. I don't know why those always feel cheaper.
Tiny ones inside those.
Yeah, just a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Kind of
tastes like a Target.
Yeah, all the coffee tastes a little bit like popcorn because somehow the popcorn smell from the front of the Target has kind of also infused the coffee at this particular place. And let's say instead of smelling that popcorn, suddenly you were smelling sulfur. And that's because you were having a near-death experience and you saw this light and then the light turned red and you were in hell.
This is a fascinating theoretical.
So imagine it's like real fire. It's real people who you can see the agony in their eyes. Their guts are being pulled out and they have like infinity guts, you know, that are just constantly being eaten by these demons that are like just like loving the guts. And so you saw that. You saw all that. It's a cautionary tale about pay attention when you're grinding the beans.
But amazing nonetheless, because we always hear stories of near-death experiences. Somebody died on the table during heart surgery, whatnot, and they're moving toward the white light and it's warm and it's comforting and they have a peace they've never experienced before and it's pure abundant joy and they're on their way to heaven before they hear clear and it brings their heart back to life and they come shooting back into their body and they're like, no, I was almost in heaven, it was wonderful. We never hear the story of someone saying, I'm moving down toward a red light, there are bowels being disemboweled, there are demons, it looks like a heavy metal album. I mean, this all checks out, and I have to commend you for your honesty, because everybody says they were on their way to heaven and here you were on your way to hell. I mean, that must have turned your life around.
And you guys can edit this afterwards. It's between you and me. It was Starbucks.
And I did want to point out, I thought it was awesome when I saw the kids on the rope last week and everybody had a little macchiato cup. And I was like, what are they, you know, I thought there was juice or something, but now I'm realizing, were you just giving, I mean, are you still kind of trying to practice the whole coffee thing with the kids?
My theory was like, what if this is actually the perfect thing where like I can make them, you know, coffee drinks and they can drink them. And then that stimulant, since they're already so stimulated, will actually bring them down, you know, kind of like how Ritalin works.
That's cool.
And has it worked?
No.
Okay.
Not in the slightest.
I do have a Starbucks question, as long as I have a Starbucks expert here. Now, why do they always mess up the names? It's almost like these baristas are trying to do it. They're trying to outdo each other. Somebody can just say Jenny. And then the next thing you know, the barista is calling out nonsensical syllables that sound like Taika Waititi.
I mean, again, while we're off the record here, and I this can't go in the actual show, but it comes down from corporate.
Really?
Like everybody has a quota. You need to misspell 5 names a week.
Oh, wow.
And then you feel like for every one time that somebody tweets a picture of it and then gets, you know, like a handful of likes, because it's pretty cliche at this point, there's 4 people who are just like, hey, you didn't hear me. You don't see me. I'm in here every week, but you have to do it.
You know, we don't have Starbucks in Australia, but what we do have is a place called Don Dick Wagler's Big Bean Bonanza. And what that is, and I thought this was always really good, is you could only order one kind of coffee. It's a small 8-ounce coffee, and everybody gets the same thing. And so then you never run into this marketing problem, this issue of spelling people's names wrong. Because, you know, he's like, I'm Don Dick Wagler, there's a Big Bean Bonanza, and we're just going to give you this one coffee, and that's it. And the coffee's really bad, and you know, everybody just expects it to be that way.
That's so funny that you say that, because actually in the American barista community, we look at Don Dick Wagler's Big Bean Bonanza, and that's actually, they're like revered, you know?
Oh, really?
Because all of us, you're so out there, and everybody's like, I like my drink a little bit like this. I like it a little bit like that. But there's actually one good cup of coffee. You know, there's one way to do it. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And like, people think they're like, I like my coffee like this. And it's like, no, you like sugar. You like milk. Uh-huh. The customer isn't always right, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, never. And you know, not to bring this back to God all the time, but I do want to point out that, you know, there is one true God, right?
Yep.
And we're giving you that version of God. That you're not getting like, hey, I want a macchiato God, or hey, I want this, I want my God with a little bit of foam on top. And I'm basically saying, you know, what we do here at Twin Hills is we're giving you that Don Dick Wagler's Big Bean Bonanza cup of coffee, and we're going, this is God. Take it or leave it. And if you leave it, hey, bud, you know, there's no other place to go, you know? And so that's what I really think is like, it doesn't really matter if the coffee is good or bad, because there's only one coffee.
That's right. Speaking of names and writing names on cups and all that, I wanted to ask you about your name, PC. I mean, a lot of people know PC as a very bad word, politically correct. This is this terrible liberal culture trying to take over, a God-honoring nation of, we got God on the dollar bill. This is a Christian country. And here these PC people are coming in saying we can't even pray in school or anywhere. I just wonder, do you get a lot of discrimination against you from Christians because of your PC name?
Yeah, people assume that, you know, for whatever reason, it'll be like they'll bring their kid into the kindergarten and they'll be like, oh, hey, you know, I know he's a kindergartner, but he still has his binky. And then they'll look at me in a weird way and they'll be like, if I can even say that. They're like, I don't know if that's, kind of in the, and it puts me in a weird place where I'm like, I'm not particularly, you know, I guess politically correct just because that's my name.
So your name is political?
No, it's not. No. It isn't. That's what it's PC, but it doesn't stand for that. It stands for Pringle Chad Dearson.
Yeah. Is Pringle a family name? That's cool. It sounds regal. It sounds British.
I'm named after a single, chip.
You put 2 of them against each other, put them in your mouth, you make the duck bill. And, you know, my kids were just telling me, they go to public school. I got to drag them out of there because they said one of their sex ed teachers was putting 2 Pringles together, talking about how it's a labia, which I didn't even know what a labia was.
Really?
But I love Pringles. I love the cheddar ones. I love the sour cream and onion ones.
Well, you don't want to be eating them after you heard that.
Oh, I love a Pringle. And I love a protective can. No shards of chips there.
It's, you know, it's funny that you talk about doing duckbill lips with Pringles. And that's another thing. People will, you know, sometimes even kids will be like, oh, their parents have packed them little snacks or little, you know, little things to have during snack time, you know, and they'll be making the little duck bill face. And then they'll look at me and they'll be like, if I can even do that,
yeah,
oh, maybe
kids,
that's not
oh,
allowed
the kids
anymore.
Will do that.
The
right,
kids will offend the ducks.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I just go, and again, it makes me feel weird where I go like, I don't know why you would assume that that would offend me or that anyone would be offended. Exactly. That ducks would take offense, but they just assume that I'm some sort of vessel for political correctness because that's my name. Again, I don't even particularly care about that stuff. But they just assume that I do. And in a similar way, people will often pull out their iPhones and then look at me and be like, oh, or I'm sorry, whoops, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Wait, so they pull out their iPhone and they say, if I can even do that. So I don't really understand that one.
Yeah, I think it's because they think that I will somehow be offended because my name is PC and there was a long-running series of Apple commercials in the 2000s featuring John Hodgman, where he was a sort of stodgy, stuck-up, you know, he represented personal computers, PCs, and then Justin Long was like a cool young person and he represented Mac, which is like a different platform. And so they for some reason, those things are in opposition to them because iPhones are an Apple product. And they're
so good.
It's again, they put that on me.
Nothing makes a joke better than explaining it. Then you get to enjoy it twice.
Well, I love Justin Long. I always thought he would be so much better looking if he could gain like 30 pounds, but I really did think he had a movie star face.
Huh.
DC Dearson was played by DC Pearson. Follow him at DC Pearson. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.